Good morning. What a great day. It's warm out, maybe even a little rain. I heard about maybe a thunderstorm. Wouldn't that be cool? This time of year, it's kind of that time of year where we get excited about those types of things. But I want to say welcome to you this morning. If this is your first time here, welcome. We're glad that you've joined us today. Or if you've been here many times before, then thank you for coming back again and being a part of our community. I also want to say thank you for the time that we spent away. We're out at our district pastor's annual retreat in beautiful, balmy Billings, Montana. And I'm not sure why they picked Billings in February, but I'm sure there's a reason for it. But it was a good time to just get away, and we do have district meetings there, but we get to meet with other fellow pastors and people that we only get to see once or twice a year. So it was a good restful time away for us as well. And Andrew, we had scheduled Andrew to preach last week months ago, and so that was a scheduled planned thing. And you're going to want to be with us again next week as our district superintendent, Wes Smith, will be here, and he's going to bring the word to us next week and be around to meet with you and some other things that he'll inform us of, and so it'll be an exciting time. You're going to want to meet him. I don't think he has been here yet on a Sunday, and he's our new district superintendent as of a year ago, and neat guy, and you're going to want to meet him as well. But today we're going to finish up our series From This Day Forward, and I hope it's been an encouraging set of messages for you, and I think that we'll end up today. The message entitled Have Fun is a good place to end up with that. But throughout this whole series of From This Day Forward, we all have relationships that we are a part of, whether it's a work relationship, an entertainment relationship of a golf partner or something like that, or work relationships. And then we have dating relationships and marriage relationships, and just how important those relationships are to us and how important those relationships are to God. And he gives us several principles that we've been using through this series as to why relationships are important and how we can succeed in those relationships. So if you remember the first week, we talked about that we need to seek God first, that should be the first relationship that we hold dearest to us is our relationship with God. And I hope that you have one. But then after that, then we seek relationships with others and relationships with a husband or a wife. And those have a better chance of success if our first relationship is put into a better place. And if you've ever been in a relationship, not if, but when and how, and you are, and all of those things, we talked about fighting fair. That in relationship, there's always conflict that arises in some form or fashion, and we are no different, but how you fight is what's important, how you resolve things and get things resolved, that God has a hand in that too. And of course, then we talked about winning with community. Even before we get into relationships that are intimate and personal, we are a community, just as we are the church. And we talked about Saul or Paul and the book of Acts and the beginning of the church, and that we are in the Bible. That you and I, we are in the Bible as of the age of the church that was started back in Acts. And it gives us a formulation of how we can make those relationships stronger and better and what they can look like. And then today we're going to end with having fun. Because having fun in relationships is very important. And this is our PG-13 Sunday, and we're going to talk about marriages specifically. So if you're married, listen up. If you've been married, listen up. If you're not married yet, listen up, because it might pertain to you at some point in time. I don't want this to allow anybody to tune out. And we don't want to give up on our relationships. That's important to God, that we don't give up on our relationships. And like I said, we've all come to this place. We're all together under one roof at one time, and we have a myriad of examples of what relationships have been to us. Some of us are not married yet. Some of us are on our first marriage. Some of us are on a marriage after a divorce. And this all applies today. But today, have fun. We're going to talk about that. And it's been said that man does not know happiness until he's married. But by then it's too late, right? So, where are you in that camp? Yep, you agree? No, you don't. We're gonna have fun today, all right? So relax, it's gonna be okay. From the Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says this: live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all of your earthly toil. You see, ever since we got past Genesis, the separation that happened between mankind and God through the Genesis, the fall, Adam and Eve, and all of that story that you know, ever since then, our relationships have been strained. Our relationships have had things that try and pull them apart, and the spiritual warfare component of our relationships, but especially in our marriages. Do you view that God has given you a reward in your marriage? Or do you feel more like he's cursed you? Well, you know, we see both in culture today, but God's word tells us that this is a reward. This book was written, the Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. And King Solomon got to a point in his life where just like us, he asked, what's the meaning of life? Have you gotten to that point yet? If not, you will. That King Solomon, the wisest man, it was said, to ever live, that God tested him and asked, do you want wisdom or riches? Or you can ask anything that you want, but King Solomon asked, he says, I want wisdom. I want wisdom more than riches. And God gave him the wisdom. God gave him and blessed him through everything else as well. He had the most money. I think it still holds true that if we take Solomon's money and put it in today's dollars, he makes Bill Gates look like he's on welfare. And he had all kinds of country space. He had land. He had cattle. He had 1,300 wives and concubines. Not sure where that and wisdom come into play together, but somewhere in there. But this guy had it all. This guy had anything and everything that he could ask for. And even him in having all of that stuff, because we do the same, don't we? In our relationships or even just as a person, it's how much is enough? Well, just a little more, okay? And he had it all. But he still came to that point in his life where he had to ask the question, what's the meaning of life? And I love Ecclesiastes. If you read through it and take your time to study through it, that King Solomon understood, and just as you and I do sometimes, that he was perplexed because the sun, it rises in the east and it sets in the west, and it does it the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And the sun comes up and the sun sets, and when the sun sets, the moon and the stars, they come out, and the wind will blow from the north, and then it will blow from the south, and the rains will come, and then there will be drought, and all of this happens as if he's describing a machine, this whoosh of the sunrise, whoosh of the sunrise, and the moisture that rains, but it never floods the earth. And so he understood that something's got to happen. Something's got to be going on, this machine, this tapaka, 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 but it just grinds on, whoosh, tapaka, tapaka, day after day after day. And he starts in Ecclesiastes going, meaningless. Everything that we do is just meaningless. The sun rises and the sun sets. It rose and it set before we were here, and it's going to do so afterwards. Marriages happened before we were here. They're going to happen long after we're gone. What's the point? Why does this even matter? And so it's an exciting look that we can get caught and drugged down in the mundane of life. We can find that our relationships and our marriages get caught up in the I get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, go to bed. We get caught in that cycle, don't we, sometimes? And it's just that it just happens over and over and over. And in the New International Version of what he says with the wife that God gives you as a reward for all your earthly toil, in the NIV, it even says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. I like the way that that's written. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. You see, without fun, without romance, without sex in our marriage, it's reduced to a relationship, a business relationship, really. It's just a relationship that stuff happens. It's two people existing in the same house, but we have different lives. I had a relative one time that explained their marriage, that, hey, when we're here, we're together, but when we're outside these doors, we're separate. And I thought, oh, how harsh is that? You're missing it. Even though you may not be in the same room together, you're never separate. What God has put together, Let nobody separate. And just that thought process. And I know that in our lives and in our relationships, things can get a little boring. Things can go a little south. We can you know, not appreciate the fact that maybe our mate, you know, squeezes the tube of toothpaste in the middle, or, you know, puts the toilet paper on wrong underneath. It's got to be over the top, right? You know, we get there eventually. Maybe not the first time, but we get there, and then stuff happens. Mistakes are made, and the relationship starts to suffer and can be degraded. And, well, I brought you a video. Just relationships can end up this way.
I think I've always known. The signs have always been there. But when I first confronted him about it, he just held my hand and said, "No, honey, I would never do that to you." Liar.
She is being really dramatic about this. Husbands do this all the time.
It doesn't make it okay.
Honey, it's my turn to talk. Just, okay? Actually, I have nothing further.
But it's finally been confirmed. My husband has an STD, a shedding things deficiency. Every day, the cabinets, the drawers, just, he leaves them wide open. The bedroom used to be so full of love. Now it's just a constant reminder of what he's done.
Well, yeah, I mean, you pull the jeans out and then this stuff is all popped up, and really at that point there's nothing you can do.
I come into the kitchen, which used to be a sanctuary. Now I just don't know what to do.
If you leave the cabinets open, you know where everything is. It's a better situation.
Some days it really flares up. The doors, the garage, the refrigerator.
Honey, you're making this way too dramatic with the camera movement and the blue sliding thing. How much did you pay for that?
You just do you, I'll do me.
I'm here to raise awareness about STDs, so join me this Friday for a 5K STD race for closure. We'll have music, refreshments, even a top trot.
So you booked a band?
No, a DJ.
What are the refreshments?
Donuts.
Do you really want to run 3 miles this weekend?
No. Okay, so there's no 5K this weekend, so maybe just comment below if your significant other has an STD, a shedding things deficiency. Let me know that I am not alone here, and maybe subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook, hang out with us on Instagram, maybe?
Well, that's fun. And I don't know how, I probably shouldn't take a survey of how many guys have a shutting things disorder, and I know I don't, and I can prove it as long as you don't talk to Joan, and we'll be okay. But I do agree that leaving the cupboard doors open, you can see better. So maybe there's a problem there. But what is it in your relationship that seems so silly, but yet gets so important? You see, no one falls in love having a bad time. Nobody says, "Oh, I'm so bored with you, I think I'll fall in love," right? Nobody does that. Last summer, Joan and I took a trip. Many of you have taken trips, and it wasn't boring. We didn't just go somewhere and decide that we're just bored and we're not. You have fun together. And that's the whole point. I know some of you just went to Arizona, and you should feel really bad about leaving the rest of us here. I won't name any names, but you know who you are, Craig. We gotta have fun in our marriages, and I want to show us today 3 different ways that we can have fun together in our marriage. All right, so let's get started. The first one is this, if you're following along in your note-taking guide, it's face-to-face. Okay, it's those times that started clear back when you were dating. You know those times that you got together and over a cup of coffee and you talked until 2 a.m. or you talked all night until the sun came back up. When you were dating, remember when all that stuff didn't bother you and you actually wanted to be with that person and you couldn't wait to be with that person, and when they weren't around, oh, your heart just longed for them. You remember that day? For some of you it'll come, some of you have been there, but going on long walks through the neighborhood, do you remember those times? That's, in fact, a little bit of how Joan and I got together, that there was a place that we always hung out after church and after Wednesday nights and things like that. And we'd go and we'd play games and have some food, and everybody was there and we had a good time. And I spotted this cute blonde. Oh, man. I said, you know, it's early. You want to go for a walk? And stupidly, she said yes. So you can blame her for that. But we walked around blocks and blocks and blocks. Had so much fun together. just walking and talking and the face-to-face. But it's communication, okay? It's good communication, but it's factual communication a lot of the times, especially remember when you were dating and how it gets, and it's the same today in your marriages, that we need to make sure that we're having these face-to-face conversations, that we're communicating our schedules and what's going on, it's not a personal, intimate, detailed conversation quite yet. It's not a heavy theological, spiritual conversation. It's conversation, or maybe even not about the future, but it's about planning, or it's about what's going on, or it's about just dispelling the information. Do we know what each other is up to? Or is it, I'll do me, you do you, and we don't know what's going on with our spouse? Okay, some people even find out in really odd ways of what's going on in their spouse when they don't have this face-to-face conversation. I've known of people that are part of a life group. Hey, way to go. If you're not a part of a life group, you need to be a part of one. But part of a life group, and they'll hear a prayer request or something that's going on and with their spouse, and they'll find out in life group. It's like, oh, what kind of a breakdown is that? And it's good to find out, and it's good to be prayed for, but do you know each other? Do you spend time talking to each other in what's going on with life? And today we're going to talk about the Song of Solomon. That's what we're going to use to walk through these principles. And face-to-face is where we're starting. You're going to want to turn to Song of Solomon chapter 7. We're going to spend some time there today, okay? And it starts off this way. How beautiful your sandaled feet, O prince's daughter. Your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of a craftsman's hand. Man, this guy is good. Your navel is a rounded goblet that never lacks blended wine. Your waist is a mound of wheat circled by lilies. Let me stop right there for one second. Guys, when you're talking about your wife's hips, be careful, okay? This is meant that he's noticing that she has hips, because hips in that day meant childbearing. And that was a good thing, to have children. So be careful how you talk about your wife's hips and backside. I'm just saying. Okay? And he goes on, your breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are the pools of Heshbon by the gates of Bathrabban. You see, he starts at her feet, and he works his way up, and he speaks so eloquently. Look at the details of his compliments. He doesn't just walk by and, oh, hey, you look fine. That's not what he does. And guys, that's not what we need to do. That guys are just looking for headlines. That's all men want, are the headlines. But women want details. Amen? Amen. Work with me here, guys. All right, here we go. But don't just walk by and say, oh, is there something different about you today? Oh, bad idea. Create a time when your only goal is to talk. Yeah, I'm probably speaking to the guys here. But create a time when your only goal is to talk. I remember why I liked you so much. Do you have those conversations where you can have a cup of coffee or go for a walk or do something where you just talk that way, where you remember how you got to that point? You see, watching television, driving your kids to an event, the chaos of life, talking while both of you are head buried in your cell phones, that's not face-to-face communication. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. But take time to communicate face to face. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, I talked about this, guys. That sometimes, you know, your wife, maybe she taps you on the shoulder or touches your cheek and says, "Listen to me with your eyes." Right, wives? Doesn't that happen to us guys a lot? We get distracted. And listen to me with your eyes. Be engaged with what's happening and what's going on. Now, face-to-face conversation is good. We'll move on to the next one, which is side-to-side communication. Listen to this guy talk in verse 11. Come, my lover, let's go to the countryside. Let's spend the night in the villages. Ooh, getting spicy. Right? How many of wives, if your husband came home and burst through the door and said, "Come, my lover, let's go to the countryside," what would you do? You'd die. You'd fall on the floor dead. But guys, do it, all right? Be careful how we talk to our wives. Men especially crave that side-to-side time, okay? This is that spending time together part of it. And guys, we won't admit it right off, But we like that. We like to know that our significant one is by us. And Craig Crochelle was talking one time, and he said, whenever my wife and I, we go anywhere, we're holding hands. Oh, isn't that special? They hold hands everywhere they go. And he goes on to say, yeah, if I let go, she goes shopping, so I have to hold her hand. So maybe that's what you got to do too, guys. I don't know. You know, are you by Hobby Lobby? You know, but ladies, are you by Cabela's? You know, you might have to hang on too. I don't know. But what are you doing to spend time together? It will work best if you can enter each other's world. Ladies, if you can enter into his world, this is going to work a lot better. Guys, if you can enter into her world, this is going to work out really well. Like I said, I had to go to Billings for district meetings, and it was a work trip for the most part, but Joan was able to come with. And it was special that we were able to spend 13 hours in the car together. It was really good, but that's not near so dramatic to say. We had a great time. We had a good time being in traveling together and getting to see the countryside and getting to talk and some of those things. I love it in the summertime when we can hop on the motorcycle and we can just take off, and I know that she's behind me. Okay? And now that the kids are getting older, we get to spend more time on it, maybe for the day or an overnight trip. And I love those times for me that it's just time together. So what is it for you that you love? Is it playing a game? Is it going fishing? Is it going golfing? Maybe even going to the grocery store sometimes. Can just juice us up of it's just good to spend time together. And ladies, I'm going to give you a hint. There are two times when men are most likely to open up to you, okay? Do you want your man to open up to you? There are two times that this really happens most prevalently. And the first one is when he's doing something with you that he enjoys. And the second is right after he's done doing something with you that he enjoys. Okay, those are two times where I think you've got a captive audience there, and I think you've got a shot at really, really talking to your guy. So spend that time face to face, you bet. Have those conversations, but spend time together side by side. Sometimes I had the privilege that I got to work side by side with my wife for 14 years as we were in construction together. That there was that time, and I really cherished that time. Now the third thing is this, face to face, side to side, and we're going to go belly button to belly button. All right, you know what I'm talking about here. Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 11. Come, my lover, let's go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early into the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. Oh, that's spicy stuff right there, and that's in the Bible. That's good stuff. That's good stuff for us in our marriages because this is what's supposed to happen. You see, he's not talking about it day in, day out, and everyday things, but he's talking about springtime. He's talking about a special time when you can be together and where it should lead and all the things of spring. When spring is in the air, we see it in the animals. We can see it in our marriages, okay? He's talking about having sex in the park, if you're not getting it. Don't let sex in your marriage be the last thing on a to-do list, okay? Move it up a notch or several notches, but have fun. We have to have fun in our marriages or things are going to start to break down. Let's go again to Solomon's word in Proverbs chapter 5. May your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. For some of you, it's pretty mushy at that point, isn't it? But do you see how he's writing this? May your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. How do you approach a loving doe and a graceful deer? You know, it talked earlier about her breasts being like two fawns of a gazelle. Do you approach two fawns with, hey, fawns? Is that how you approach them? No, you approach them gently. I even heard one guy describe it that he was talking to a wife, and she said, I just wish I could take these things off, put them in a box, give them to you, and let you go play with them. Okay? How do you attack your wife. In the first service, I had somebody come up to me afterwards, and he said, I was thinking about that, but he said, my mind got caught is, how do you approach a fawn? Is you just sneak up on it really slow, and then you shoot it. I thought, okay, I think he missed the point, but that is one way to do it. I said, yeah, but that's only a one-time deal for a fawn. He said, but yeah, but then you got all that meat in the fridge, and it just went off track. It's like, I don't know where you're going with this, but a graceful fawn. Can you picture this? Can you picture this in Psalms, where God takes us on a journey, that we can lay our heads in the green grass by the water, that God will protect us if we follow after him, that we could have dinner even if our enemies are right there, that God grants us peace. God grants us dinner, literally and figuratively. But this is a relationship that when we put that relationship with God first, that we have a marriage relationship that we need to take care of in just the same way. Men, you've got to work on your approach, okay? I'm with you guys. We can all do this together. But the problem is that men can make anything sexual. It just doesn't matter. Ladies, I know you've probably picked up on this by now, but you know, when your wife says, hey, I need my tire changed, I'll change your tire, all right. You know, or, hey, the pot on the stove, would you stir the pot? Well, I'll stir your pot, all right. You know, it doesn't matter. Guys can take anything off the tracks. Do I get an amen, guys? Yes. Work on your approach, guys. Ladies, make an approach. Doesn't matter what, okay? It doesn't matter how you do it. Doesn't matter what it is. Just make an approach to your guy. He will appreciate it, and I think you will too, but you've got to try. Try, 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 try. You know, I get it that you've got that, you know, that thing you sleep in at night, that really warm flannel footy pajamas thing. It's just the most comfortable thing ever. All the ladies just went, yep. Well, maybe try something in satin once in a while. Just saying that maybe your guy would appreciate not just the most comfortable outfit that you own, but something that's looks a little different. Okay, you're married. Okay, now I'm talking about in the context of marriage, in the context of your home, in the context of privacy. Go buy something from Victoria's Secret that's not lotion. All right, go buy something nasty if you want to. I don't care. You're in a marriage situation, and it's about the two of you. Do whatever it takes. Set a date. Get a babysitter. Have a date night, a nice dinner, lit candles. Take a bath. And one guy after the service said, yeah, take a bath together. Okay, yep, that's what works too. Get a massage. Turn on a little Marvin Gaye. You know, let's get it on. You know, work it a little bit here, guys. And if you've got little kids in the house, I miss, but I don't miss those days. If you've got little kids in the house, then do yourself a solid. Do yourself a favor, okay? Use the electronic babysitter. If you put Dora the Explorer on, guys, you got 30 minutes, all right? What can you do in 30 minutes? I don't want to know, but you've got 30 minutes before the little creatures are wandering the house once again, okay? So most men desire sex. That's not a big revelation. Most women, though, don't realize that this is a crisis for guys. That when we take sex and we take sex out of context and we use it as a weapon and we use it as a withholding things, and the Bible talks about that. I'm not going to go there today, but we can realize. I don't know, ladies, if you realize that sex is emotionally as serious to a guy as it is to you when your husband suddenly becomes silent. Okay, you've had those times in your marriages where he just shuts up, shuts off, backs away. Okay, do you remember how that makes you feel? Do you remember the panic that starts to live in your life? And the same thing happens for guys when wives treat sex that way. When sex just goes off and dormant, it's really concerning for a guy as well. Some people will complain, well, I just don't feel anything for him. My partner, spouse, either this can go either way. I just don't feel anything. We're so attached to our feelings about things. But you see, feelings will follow actions. That if we do the right thing, we can feel differently about those very same things. the grass always looks greener on the other side, right? It may. So water your own grass. Why do you want your doe to go looking for the grass that's greener on the other side of the fence? Stay on this side of the fence. Want what you once had. You didn't enter your marriage by saying, this is boring and this is awful, let's get married. You had something back at the beginning. What was it? And can you remember that? And can you bring that back into play? That's why I think this series is so important, that we can draw a line. We can say, from this day forward. Because if we autopsy our past relationships, that we have broken relationships, we have divorces, we have things that went awry, things that blew up. I get that. But you know what? If we're sincere and honest about our relationship with God, God can forgive you. God can forgive you. God can help you draw that line in the sand and say, from this day forward. Do you want that kind of a relationship from this day forward? Or do you want to continue to dwell in the chaos of living two separate lives under the same roof? In Revelation chapter 2, it says this: remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Do you remember when you became a new believer in Christ and you had a new lease on life and things were looking up and there was hope for the future and joy amongst the chaos and all of the things of life, but then we let life get into us and get us down sometimes. Do you remember that? Do you remember back to the first date? Do you remember your first kiss? Do you remember the kiss on your wedding day? Ladies, you might. I'm pretty sure guys didn't because they were focused on the wedding night, not the wedding day. But do you remember? Do you remember that first time, the honeymoon? How awesome that was. What did you do different than what you do today? Okay? Think about that for just a minute. What did you do on your honeymoon that you failed to do today? And go back into that and seek God first together and ask for forgiveness where it's necessary and draw a line in the sand and say, from this day forward. You see, we all do exactly what we want to do. Sometimes we just won't admit it, but every day you wake up, by the gift and the grace of God, you do exactly what you want to do that day. You make choices. So make choices to fight for your marriage. Make choices to make that better. Make choices to forgive and forget that mistake that happened and work on it together. Whether it's in marriage, and this is the principle that goes beyond marriage. In your work relationship, forgive what that coworker has done and work to a better solution for tomorrow. In the church, we are supposed to be a people of grace, a people of joy, and a people that look forward to a brighter future tomorrow in the name of Jesus Christ forever and ever, amen. Because we serve a God and are gifted by a God that can do immeasurably more than what we could ever ask or imagine. But it's our normal tendencies because of the sin in our lives that we get into these families and instead of thinking the best about each other, we start to think the worst of each other. And it's really weird the way that it works because the closer we get, the more ammunition we have. The more things that we find that are wrong. A new car is always great till you drive it for a while. There's always going to be a squeak. There's always going to be a loose bolt. There's always going to be something. But just like your car, if you don't keep your tires inflated, if you don't change the oil, if you don't wash it once in a while, your car gets pretty nasty. And so will your relationship. And so will your marriage. So do those same things. Wash. Take a bath, guys. Change the oil. What does it take, the maintenance, the downtime? You see, a car can't run 24/7, 365 either, and neither can we. So take some time to park and listen to what God has for you. I got a kick out of one old guy that showed up at a seminar, and the guy was talking about dating and relationships and sex, and this old cowboy, this old rusty leatherneck cowboy comes up, and he says, I got something special that works when we're about to, ramp it up a bit, he said. He said, you know what I do? And the guy goes, no, what do you do? He says, I brush my teeth. So maybe that's what it takes for you guys. I might suggest a little more than that. But we've got to remember where we have come from, okay? Life is serious, sure, we get that. But is it so serious that we're going to derail our marriage? Is it so serious that we're going to derail our relationships? Is it so serious that we are going to derail a church because of our relationships? Let's pull this together in everything that we do so that we can rejoice together in our differences. And that's okay. That's all good. But I want to encourage you, keep it joyful. Keep your marriages fresh. Keep your relationships out in front of your thinking, and don't get bogged down by the trials and the missteps of this world. All right? I think we can do this together. Would you please stand and join me? Father God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you have done for us. I thank you for all that you have done for me. And God, right now, I thank you for my wife. And I want that prayer to be our prayer, that God, right now, we thank you for our spouses. Let me just give you a second for that. And if you're not married, you have relationships in your life. Let's take just a second, shall we? And thank God for those relationships that we have. Let's thank God for those relationships that we can make better. And let's thank God for the relationship that he wants to have with us and he allows us to have by his grace. God, thank you for that. As we go beyond today, as we leave this place in just a few minutes, the chaos of life comes flooding back in, and all of the things that can get us down come raging at us like a roaring lion to a gazelle. And God, it is your shield that we need. God, it is your joy that we need infused upon us. God, it is your sight that we need to see others in. Today, from this day forward, may we choose to be faithful to you. May we choose to be faithful to our marriages. And may we choose to be faithful in all the relationships that you have granted us. It is in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that I pray this. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.